This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
Thursday Night Football, the Denver Broncos at the New York Jets. This game tonight will be like watching two old people have sex.
How about that?
That's why you have to keep watching, because you don't know the next word out of my mouth. And I know that because I don't know the next word out of my mouth. Everybody's awake today.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Happy Flame Tech Football Friday. And the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show, is taking flight. I'm your host, RP. He's the co-host, DD, Darren DuPont. How are you, Dupes?
I'm doing really good.
Ready to have some fun?
Oh, yeah.
You're here for a good time, not a long time, right?
You got it.
I'm going to be here in the warm-up as we cover our quick six show topics, and then you'll make way for the Hall of Fame rider broadcaster, the Rough Rider broadcaster, John Frenzy. But it is a little thing we call Football Fridays, and that means that our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, is going to be dropping by with Tory's tips, your NFL fantasy advice. 2 out of 3 weeks, he's won money. And he's won money for our viewers that have been following Tory's tips for Wheaton Kia. He's coming up. And Ken Reed, great guy, Ken Reed, has penned this book, One to Remember, Stories from 39 Members of the NHL's One Goal Club. I read the book. It's awesome.
Good.
Sportsnet anchor Kenny Reed's going to be with us from Toronto coming up, and that is in hour two. So a lot of fun. You ready to roll with the quick six?
I'm ready.
Okay. Hit it, Jordan. Quick six show topics today. Thursday night football was a lot more interesting than I predicted, or what you heard in the show intro. We did our CFL sim broadcast last night, but when I came home, I turned on the television, and it was a wild ending. The Denver Broncos upending the New York Football Jets 37-28 at MetLife Stadium. And did you catch the end of the game?
I did. I mean,
wasn't it wild?
Yeah, the Broncos had a decent enough lead, and then here come the Jets back, and they kick the field goal with just a few minutes left to go ahead. But then Rippon drove them down the field. They got a field goal, or they got some points back, and ended up winning the football game. So, wild finish.
Well, it was all that I needed to see. It was like an NBA game. The last 3 minutes was all that I needed. And the Jets completely unraveled at the worst time. I'm like, that's them. Right on brand.
Like, receivers wide open. Like, it wasn't even hard to get down the field.
Well, I was thinking about their defense.
Yeah.
When they allowed the running back, was it Melvin Gordon, to bounce off and take it around the end to stab him for the end of the game.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was wild. It was a lot better than what I predicted. Point two, any more on the XFL's return? Well, of course there will be. It's Football Friday. We're going to be talking about all of those things. It has led to our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Throw it up, fellas, if you don't mind. The question is, who will play games first, the Canadian Football League or the XFL? It's not as crazy of a question as you think once you delve into it, which we're going to. I just tweeted it minutes before we went to air, so I don't even think there's much results. What's it saying? CFL by a long shot, they're saying, eh?
Yeah.
83% saying the CFL, and you're probably right, but I think it's worth a discussion. Point three, during yesterday's show, Football Canada announcing, our good friend Jim Mullen, the president of Football Canada, announcing what I think is a really good deal. Obviously, you went through it. They're going to pull together all the stakeholders in Canadian football for a summit in the month of October. They're going to do it virtually, but it includes Football Canada representatives, Canadian Football League representatives, Canadian Junior Football League representatives, and U Sports. That is four entities. And that's going to be an initial meeting, and then they're going to move it forward off into subcommittees and really take this break to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, Jim. And we're going to have to bring Jim Mullen on. If I may, one of the things that they want to talk about, you probably saw it, was promotion of Canadian football. Who else would you rather go to than the RP Show to help promote Canadian football? Like we're just saying, and they sent us this helmet. And I think getting these international competitions on TSN or Sportsnet or whoever wants them, maybe Game Plus, would be massive for Canadian football.
Yeah,
you know, make the World Juniors, of which they have them for football internationally. Like, see what this happened for hockey. Why can't we do it for football? There's a lot of things to do. So hats off again to Football Canada and Jim Mullen for taking this initiative to pull everybody together under one roof and make things happen. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And I know they're excited about it. And, you know, it's important. You know, sometimes you have everybody with different agendas, right? All these different leagues and organizations. Now you can all get on the same page and grow the game together, right? What can the CFL game do for U Sports? And what can U Sports do for junior football? And what can junior football do for the CFL? And, you know, how can you work together? That's how you're going to grow.
Saw the comment from a gentleman. It just slipped off the screen, but it had something to do with, saw your chat with Arash. Pretty disappointing. That was Arash's CFL update from what the CFL is doing business-wise for a plan for 2021. That's where I said, if we want to sit down on this and use your term, lean into the topic. There it is. Derek Kaming. Saw your chat with Arash. Pretty disappointing. If you want to lean into this, it depends what perspective you are on as to whether the CFL will be back in 2021. We'll get through that with Lynch later on when John Frenzy, because he has his take. One of the biggest reasons why I wanted you in the bunker dupes for the warm-up was this point four. Moose Jaw Warriors announcing, it was during our show yesterday, that they are to review their logo. And I was going to send Clark the logo. Would you mind, Clark, while I'm talking about this, can you, sorry to just catch off guard, but pull up the Moose Jaw Warriors logo. Yeah, that's it. If you don't mind. For our viewers across North America that don't know what it is what I've said since it was introduced, a stylized native headdress. And I've been on the Warriors since May or June, since I started writing that Dub Network column for the WHL blog. Can you give me a statement on your logo and your team name? Because all this other stuff's going on with the Eskimos and the Redskins. What are you guys saying about it? And the Warriors kept saying, well, we're dealing with it. We'll get back to you. We're dealing with it. We'll get back to you. And then they texted me yesterday morning and said, Rod, we have an announcement coming up at 11 o'clock. And the announcement was simply that they've going to have, what, formal discussions on the logo. There it is for our viewers. I know the listeners can't see it. Frankly, I love it. The Warriors threw me a couple years ago a zip-up, because I love wearing them, with a Warrior one. The second I pulled that thing over my head, I felt pride for the Moose Jaw Warriors. Theron Fleury, Mike Keane, Kelly Buckberger, all the great guys. Sotheby, Daryl LaPlante, all those guys. And that logo, I love it. It's about respect for a group of people. And it's a commentary that I wrote this morning on Cat Country, or I read on Cat Country 98 FM this morning. It is, people are saying, what do you think about this, Rod, that the Warriors are going to investigate and talk with their fans and sponsors about the logo? I said, I don't care anymore. Why are we talking about this now? Like, I don't. Teams used to stand up for something. They want to represent something. And now, where's the pressure coming from? Is it coming from sponsors? Is it coming from fans? Is it coming from First Nations groups? Could you not explain why this happened in the first place? Why you came up with this logo? It's to honor you. And I'm not saying the Warriors have lost their way, but depending on where this situation goes, if they change their logo, I know what category that they will have fallen into. My take. What's yours?
Well, you talked about, you know, this show, and you want people to feel something. Not just meh, right? You know, unless you know, trying to get a feeling out of people, trying to get people to care about something, and sports quickly is losing that ability to get people to feel something, and taking a stance and choosing a side. You know, everybody wants to sit and float in the middle, and it just doesn't work, right? You got to choose which side are you on, and when you pick a side, you risk losing, but you also take on the chance that you might win too, right? So everybody's just afraid, and I think we need to be a little bit more confident to be able to take a side and stand up for what we believe in.
Ooh. Brett Thompson says, loved when they played Patti Smyth's song at the games. Yeah, the Warrior. They've got a tremendous brand. They're not out to insult or make fun of anybody. Man, I'm on the Moose Jaw Warriors side, and with their logo, there was a time they would have said, this is what it is, deal with it. Times are different. So we'll see where it goes. And thanks for your take on it. I don't really care. I'm just glad that my teams that I've been associated with are nowhere near this fight. The Regina Pats, named after a World War I battalion, which was carried over into World War II and still exists to this day.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders. A Rough Rider, for those that don't know, is a mounted police man or woman, going back to the 1800s, over 100 years. Mounted police. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm so happy that our mascot here with the show is an iguana. That's not offensive to anybody. Is Ricky up this morning? You guys want to show Ricky? There he is. Ricky the iguana is our mascot. That can't offend anybody, I wouldn't think. So, yeah. I'm as glad to sidestep all of this from what I can see. Point five, NBA Finals. Game two goes tonight. Lakers Heat. Probably will be watching. I don't have anything else on the docket. Miami got throttled in game one by 18 points. Arash Manetti telling us yesterday that's not an indication how this series will go. So, will you be watching?
Probably not. I'll probably maybe tune in if I'm, you know, flipping through the channels, or I'll be following on social media. But no, I probably won't be watching tonight. It's just, there's nothing that's really grabbing me yet enough about it. And if you say it's the Pat Riley, LeBron James thing, it hasn't come out enough. I haven't seen enough of it. So there's nothing that's really making me feel a need or an urge to watch, unfortunately.
Can you put up the comment from Steven Nubadol about the offensive, potentially Warriors team name? Steven says, you don't get to decide if it's offensive. First Nations do. Consultation is easy. Thanks. So back to what I said earlier, I don't care. From Lane Ardell, he says, bang on, sports is getting soft. Jack Fulton in Alberta says, all I know is in these strange times, there's for one sure positive thing daily in sports, the RP show. Mic drop. Thanks, Jack. Trying to keep it real. Point six, there's a Major League Baseball tripleheader on the go today. It's the Marlins at the Cubs. Don't look now, but the Marlins got them on the ropes, Stoops. Are you following?
Close.
Be honest.
Somewhat closely.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's been a while since they'd won a game in the playoffs, right? But things are going better.
Cardinals at the Pod Squad and Brewers at the Dodgers in the late game of the tripleheader. So it's a pretty good day for sports. Connor Anderson is watching, our 15-year-old friend from Y-Town. He says, if you get offended by a freaking iguana, you have some problem.
Maybe somebody
will be.
Maybe somebody had a bad experience with an iguana once.
Rockstar of the day. Who would have ever had a bad experience with an iguana? I've been around them a ton. They don't hurt anything. They're more scared of you than you are of them. They look menacing as hell.
Oh, don't they?
But you're right. They're just sitting there, lapping up the sun. They're not going to hurt anybody. Oh, wait a minute. That's Alan, our intern. rock star of the day yesterday was Arash Madani. Nice work. Arash Madani will be getting the rock star of the day lid from our friends at Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. At the end of the day, there will be a test. Who's today's rock star of the day? John Frenzy, Tory Gurley, or Ken Reed. CFL Sim last night. The NFL actually had the better game. I hate to say, our game was a dog. Edmonton eviscerated Saskatchewan 49-12. Trevor Harris threw for three touchdowns. The highlight of the game, there was two. One, Jeffrey Straker, our halftime performance, as part of the RP Show Fall concert series. And two, Dion Lacy, the Buffalo Bills, watched the entire game from Buffalo and just sat there and commented along with the fans and us. That was pretty cool. That was the highlight. Unless you're an Edmonton fan.
If you're an Edmonton fan, there were plenty of highlights.
Reason to celebrate.
Big time. That team in the Sim is rolling. They got it back together, and the Riders have lost four in a row. It's not a good situation.
Riders have lost four in a row. I'll tell you what. Despite the Rider fans that left Commonwealth Stadium virtually very upset at the end of last night's game, it took us a major step forward in credibility with CFL Sim because people are really realizing that we're not rigging this thing. Because the Eskimo fan, Edmonton fan, ding! There's another one. The Edmonton fans trolling me today, writing me because they see my Instagram story.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It is good. It's good. It's what we want.
Larry Dye, watching in Medicine Hat, he says, just put the numbers on the side of the helmet and be done with it. Roll Tide. We got to have a team name, I think. So where do you want to go with all those quick six show topics? That's everything.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anything grab you? Anything grab you, Lynch? Yep. Lots. Yeah, lots of stuff.
The Warrior grabbed me.
The Warrior one, of all things. Okay.
Yeah, that one doesn't yet. I mean, basically, it's a great way to say we're working on it. Right? Which is which is awesome. But I mean, I won't really have much to say about it or really care all that much about it until there's a decision that they're keeping it or that they're changing it. And, you know, who knows if that's going to happen, if they're even going to make that kind of decision or what the investigation is going to conclude, that they're looking into it. But, yeah, that's interesting. And then the XFL-CFL thing just doesn't want to go away yet. And I know we're pretty confident that the CFL is going to come back in 2021. But does The Rock not make you a little bit worried for the CFL? Like, this guy might be able to pull this off.
He is going to pull it off.
Right? Like, he seems to be a guy who doesn't just willy-nilly go into things, right? He seems like a guy who's pretty calculated, meticulous, and careful about where he decides to put his attention. And you look at his resume and his scorecard, there's not a lot of losses on there, is there?
No.
Right? The guy doesn't lose.
Oh, not for 20-some years. If you've read anything on The Rock, and I'm a huge fan, so I've read everything there is on him.
Right.
And, yeah, it didn't start out
he
great.
He went through his struggles, right, for sure. But as a professional, there's not a lot of losses there. And, you know, so it's all about who do you trust to lead you, you know, towards, you know, greatness and towards success. And it's hard not to trust him. He's never owned or ran a professional sports league, but it's just hard not to trust that he can get it done.
Lynch has a lot of thoughts on the football, CFL versus XFL, so we'll get into that in segment two. The Q is facing off tonight. Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Colin in Ottawa is watching, and he says, how does the Q get to play when the province has close to 1,000 new cases a day? They get to play because it's the flu, Colin. That's what. And I'm actually pretty, like, I'm not a Trump fan, but to see people laughing and pointing their finger at the president and the first lady because they've caught coronavirus, whew, that's pretty sad.
I know.
People laughing and making fun of other people's misfortune says a lot. Do you have any thoughts on the CFL versus XFL thing other than you mentioned about The Rock has injected immediate credibility into the XFL?
I also think it could be good for the CFL. Like, let's not forget about that. Competition is a good thing. And if this raises your game, what's wrong with that, right? Sometimes, you know, a worthy adversary helps you raise your game. Where, you know, we see it in Cobra Kai, right? They bring out the other, you know, the other dojo comes, the other karate, right? LaRusso's karate. And all of a sudden, they got up their game. So hopefully the CFL can use this and not just be mad that the XFL is doing this or that Canadians are excited about The Rock owning the XFL. Like, don't be mad at that. Use this as an opportunity to raise your game.
I was sent. How are we doing for time here, guys? Yeah. So I was sent a video with the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, on a business podcast. And it was an interesting interview. We're the CFL's future. I'll say more of this for after the break when Lynch comes back. CFL future is kind of like where we're going with coronavirus because you're hearing one thing over here and another thing over here. Commissioner's saying we're going to come back very strong. We've got a great business plan being worked on. I got other people telling me it's dead. It's done. Stop talking about it. And those, I trust them too. I trust Randy. The two completely different things are being said. So what did we say at the end of yesterday's show? You need to decide on your own what you think is going to happen. And I'll talk about that with John Frenzy when we come back. And we will see you later in the show, huh?
You got it.
This has been the warm-up, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this coffee session. We're just getting rolling. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network around North America and listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. I'm going to get to the sports update a little later on because I don't want to keep Tori Gurley waiting. I just want to read a couple messages because the Prairie Mobile text line is open. We're open for business at 840-8777. The number is on the screen. From Jim Wagner, morning all, happy Friday, another great week of shows. Thanks so much. Take care on the weekend. Very nice comment from Jim Wagner there. From DG in Saskatoon. Morning, guys. I got to say, I was a proud Canadian watching the NFL game last night. Brett Rypien under center for Denver. He of the famous Canadian Rypien family. Or as the NFL Network Steve Smith called him 10 times, Brett Rypien. Then throw in Deontay Spencer's return for Denver. And finally, another former Argo, Greg Van Roten for the Jets, bullying Broncos defensive lineman all night. A fun game. From DG in Saskatoon. I got more, but let's go out and join our XFL insider. The only league you didn't play in, Tory Gurley, joining us today. How you doing, Tory?
I'm good. How are you guys doing over there?
Good. Our NFL fantasy insider, CFL alum, NFL alum, NCAA too. Hey, just a thought on last night, by the way. Broncos 37, Jets 28. I caught the last 5 minutes as we got home from our own esports CFL game. Didn't look too bad. What'd you think of Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought it was going to be a sloppy football game, but to see those guys come out and compete at a high level on a short week, and it's great to see my former teammates perform well. Van Roden, Deontay Spencer, you know, I was extremely excited to watch those guys put out a great performance on a Thursday night.
What are your thoughts on the XFL's return date of 2022? Did it surprise you that they were going to wait so long?
Yeah, I was shocked. You know, I was thinking, you know, just like most leagues, you try to get the ball rolling, but I can understand from The Rock perspective, I guess he's trying to include the revenue of fans. You know, that's something that it's hard to have a league where you don't have fans at all, because you need some type of revenue come in so you can pay the players and the staff. So, you know, I think that's a pretty smart approach, conservative, to wait for us to figure out how this COVID is, how we're going to be able to surpass it so we can get back to normal and having stadiums with full fans.
It's the prudent thing to do. I'm pretty excited here right now because Wheaton Kia presents Tory's Tips, and they also present John Frenzy. Can you put the camera on John Frenzy for a second, everybody? John Frenzy, I'll turn him loose on the NFL questions for Tory in a second. But Tory, viewers are winning money based on Tory's Tips. You saw that. Presented by Wheaton Kia. I've downloaded the FanDuel app. Frankly, I've been locked out of my DraftKings account, and I'm taking that as a sign from God that I'm supposed to be with FanDuel from now on. So your thoughts on your success through 2 of 3 weeks, or maybe all 3 weeks, with Tory's Tips?
I'm just going to blame it all on Kim. You know, ever since I've been married, I feel like a smarter man. So, you know, she's been the one helping me out. And I'm going to give her all the credit because she's the one making the picks. Just because she liked the color of the jerseys.
Whatever works. Look, Lynch is going nuts because he wants questions. So I'm just here, has questions for you. So I'll just say this. Week 4 in the National Football League's at hand. What are Tory's Tips for Week 4 with FanDuel?
All right, let's dive right into it. Pull this up on my phone. First pick, I love Ryan Fitzmagic, not Fitzpatrick, but Fitzmagic of the Miami Dolphins. They open up a 1 o'clock game against the Seattle Seahawks, and we've all watched Seattle. We know Russ goes up and down the field, but right now he's extremely expensive because he's a front runner for MVP. So to get great value, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick would be a great quarterback in this spot. The Seahawks defense has been decimated by so many injuries. You look at Jamal Adams, you look at the secondary as well as the D-line. I think this is going to be a great game for Fitzmagic to air the ball out. And just to kind of bounce around a little bit, I have Devontae Parker to be on the other end of those passes. So as you notice, I try to find a quarterback and a receiver on the same team going against a defense that's been struggling. So have Devontae Parker at wide receiver of the Miami Dolphins for a pretty good price. At running back, I'm loving Darrell Henderson of the LA Rams. Sean McVay has done a great job of using his scheme with motioning guys, run blocks, play action, and it's just been wide open for Henderson to get in and make some big plays. Like if you watch the Buffalo game, he played extremely well. He had 70-plus yards. He's getting the bulk of the carries, and I think it's a great spot for him. My second running back, I'll go with Mark Ingram. They're coming off a bad loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens were just dismantled. I thought that the Ravens would be able to come out and establish the run, but they were punched in the mouth by the Chiefs defense. So I think this is a great bounce back spot for the Ravens going against the Washington football team to go out and just run a ball down their throat and reestablish their identity. Kenny Galladay of the Detroit Lions, this guy's Calvin Johnson 2.0. They call him Baby Megatron, 6'5", 240, can run. If you followed me last week, you saw he played well against the Lions, and he's going to continue that performance this week. So I love Kenny Galladay. And picking on the Dallas Cowboys, Jarvis Landry, Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys play on Sunday. I think it's going to be a shootout. So you can take your choice between Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry, but I'm going to go with Jarvis just because he's closer to Baker Mayfield when it comes to throws. Usually he's lined up in the slot. Baker can easily get his eyes on him and get the ball to that guy with a shorter throw. Whenever you're banking on a guy like Odell Beckham, a lot of his passes come 20-plus yards downfield, and too many things can go wrong while the ball is in the air. But just having Jarvis Landry right there in the slot, get it out on those slants or those quick outs, he's great with run after the catch. So I love him in that spot. And another fantasy football darling of the past, Jimmy Graham. I had him last year. He literally pooped the bed. Like, he couldn't do anything right. I had to let him go. But this year, with him being in Chicago, he's come of age. You know, he looks like the old Jimmy Graham. So we definitely got to give him a shot at tight end. He's a great price at $3,800. Now they have Nick Foles at quarterback, and I think it's even better than Trubisky. So you should see a lot of targets to Jimmy Graham. And last but not least, Tyler Lockett of Seattle Seahawks. As long as Russ is going to cook, he's been throwing the ball to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I like Tyler Lockett because he can do so much, and I just think he's a better fit for this week. And the last team I'm going to take is the LA Rams, their defense, going against the New York Giants. The Giants just stink, literally. All New York teams stink, so pick on them. So I don't think the Giants are going to score more than 7 points. I think this is a great spot for Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey to bounce back from that ugly loss to Buffalo, for them to go out and play extremely well and dominate the game, and hopefully we win some more money. Tory's tips.
Tory's tips for Wheaton Kia. You can find them in North Regina at the corner of Albert and Avonhurst. And the viewers, we've got an avalanche of questions from them on their fantasy. So, guys, we'll get to those. But Lynch, he's like pounding the floor with his foot. He's got questions for you, Tory. So, Lynch, take it away.
Tory, I love the Green Bay Packers. I haven't all my life, but I've been upset the last 5 or 6 years. McCarthy didn't do much of a job there. It looks like this kid at coaching in his second year is doing a super job. Three games, three is in zip. Over 30 points in each of the games. I think that team looks fantastic. They're going to be 4-0 this weekend after they play on the weekend. What's your thoughts on them? Are they for real?
I think they are the real deal. Matt LaFleur, this is his second year as a coach, but his scheme really it takes the pressure off Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy, as you can see what he's doing in Dallas, he's literally leaving it all in Dak's hand or on his shoulder to go out and make all these throws. And Aaron loved it, but it was too easy to defend. You know, if you come out in five wide or spread formation and you're just throwing the ball all over the place, that's a lot of pressure on those offensive linemen to sustain their blocks. And that's a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott to be accurate on every throw, because there two bad things can happen while the ball is in the air. It can get tipped, it can get picked off, or it can be incomplete. You know, if you run the football, you can control the game and fall forward. And that's something that Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers have done a great job of. Aaron Jones is one of the top running backs in the league. Devontae Adams, great wide receiver, but why is he playing so well? Because the run game is clicking. The zone schemes, you have those guys falling forward for 5, 6, 7 yards. So now it's 2nd and 3 or 2nd and 2 instead of it being 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10. As long as you stay ahead of the sticks, it makes it so much easier for your quarterback to make throws. So now if we go play action, where I'm faking it to a running back that's averaging 6, 7 yards a carry, as a defense, you have to respect it, and you come down into the box. And when you have an arm like Aaron Rodgers and you have the ability of a Devontae Adams, one-on-one on the perimeter, it's so much easier to make those throws, and that's why this team is really complementing each other with the way they get after.
From viewer Lane Ardell, he has a fantasy question. AP, Gage, or Landry at flex?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Jarvis Landry. I think from what I've read, Dak Prescott is basically saying they're going to go out and spin the ball all over the yard. So you want to definitely take teams who believe in scoring. And I think that's going to be your best bet, because if Dallas is going to score a lot of points, then that means the Browns are going to have to go blow for blow with it. And you would love to have a guy like Jarvis Landry going against that secondary of the Dallas Cowboys that really couldn't play defense on a parked car right now.
Okay, now what about the Minnesota Vikings? I love Mike Zimmer. He's a great guy. But he doesn't get the team to make the big plays when they have to. It's the playoffs or right now during the season. I don't think Kirk Cousins is really a first-string quarterback. He's getting paid a pile of money, as you know, Gary. A pile of money. Are they got any future at all? I know the fans I talked to, there are a couple of buddies. They're really disappointed with this team, particularly after the loss a week ago of 31-30.
COVID has really affected the Minnesota Vikings. They're not the Vikings that we're used to seeing. That home field advantage is not there anymore. Whenever playing in Minnesota as a former player, that was something that I truly disliked, was hearing scold the whole game, a scold clap. And you don't have 80,000 fans in attendance. And majority of their players on defense, a lot of those guys opted out. And they have so many injuries. So whenever you have so much turnover and you don't have that home field advantage of having that crowd noise that's affecting the quarterbacks, a lot of teams are not looking as good as they once did. And I just think they're definitely a team that's struggling with not having fans there, because they really bank on those skull fans to get out there and to create penalties on opposing teams' offenses. They have those delayed games.
I'm saying to you, I think Mike Zimmer has to win something big this year or he's gone. Would you agree?
No, he's, for the most part, they've been a 9-10 win season over the past couple years. And, I mean, they're still respectable. It's just right now what's going on throughout the NFL. Like, you see a lot of teams that, like, prime example, if you watch the Monday Night Football game against the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs, we all know the Chiefs are a hell of a team. I mean, these guys are loaded from top to bottom, but did you see the energy of the Baltimore Ravens? I mean, literally, imagine when playing in Saskatchewan and not having fans there when you're down 21-0. It's kind of hard to get yourself fired up. Usually when you have those fans that had a couple beers in them, they're screaming, they're rowdy, you make a play, and then that momentum just builds. But whenever you don't have that, it truly just shows why these quarterbacks – the upper echelon guys, why they're dominating these games without fans, because it's almost like a practice. They go to the line of scrimmage, they're under no pressure, they make their checks, and they get the ball out of their hands. And that's why you're starting to see guys like Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers just really killing it right now.
Lastly, can I get a question? I haven't asked one question.
Yeah.
Last question.
Yes, you can.
The Dallas Cowboys. We all know the best defense is a good offense. And Jerry Jones came out this week and smashed Dak Prescott for not winning the big games and not putting a game-winning drive on the line. Brett Rippon did it last night for the Denver Broncos. Brett Rippon! And Dak Prescott can't do it? The guy's getting, what, $32 to $34 million under a franchise tag this year, and he wants 40 or more? I'm with Jerry. Change my mind.
I think the problem in Dallas is, as I mentioned earlier, is you're depending too much on the quarterback. And they've never won that way. If you go back and look at how Dak Prescott had immediate success in the NFL, it was all predicated off handing the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott, where they really dominated the game with time of possession. Out of 60 minutes, they held the ball probably for 40, shortened the game. And you limited him to 25, 26 throws a game. But out here trying to spin the ball around like he's a upper echelon quarterback, that's not him. And it's okay. Like, you still could be a $35 million quarterback, $40 million quarterback, but you have to know your limitations. And if they're only fools if they think they're going to go out here and play this air raid offense, because he's not that type of person. In college at Mississippi State, playing for Dan Mullins, he really just ran the football and they kept the throws short. And that should be the same thing he's done in the NFL, where he had early success, because right now it's hurting Dallas. They go out and they score all these points, but on the other end, the defense is giving up the same amount of points, and it's pointless. Why go out here and score 40 if you're going to give up 45? So I think they should really get back to running the football. That helps keep your defense fresh, and also it keeps Dak Prescott out of those crazy situations of trying to run a two-minute drill.
We got a lot of problems and not a lot of time to figure it out. Torrey, we got to run. Stay safe, my friend. Thanks for this. Love all you do. Our best to Kim, and we'll be watching for you this weekend.
Great talking to you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Our NFL fantasy insider, Torrey Gurley. Torrey's Tips presented by Wheaton Kia. Sports update coming up. We're going to hear from an old friend on the Prairie Mobile text line and more. It's a Friday morning. Feel like we're just getting rolling. Flame Tech Football Friday continues after this on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, we're back. Must be Friday. Guys have mentally checked out already. Hey, before I get to a sports update here, on the Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777, I love this one. This one brought a smile to my face, Link. Hi, Rod. Actually, it says Hot Rod. I still believe you have a face for radio. And it was a laughing, crying emoji signed Shocks from a 403 number.
Yeah.
He says, really enjoy your show. That's Perry Shockey, everybody. The former coach of the Regina Pats, Moose Jaw Warriors, Lethbridge Hurricanes. We had some great times together. And Shocks, I got your number now. You're not getting away from me. You can expect to hear from me this weekend. Perry Shockey. Shockey's the name. Hockey's the game. That's what he used to say.
Yep. He's good.
Or Perry S. Hockey. Thanks for watching,
great
Shocks.
Media. Good coach, too.
Fantastic coach. Coach of the year, as a matter of fact.
What's he doing now?
Good question. That's what I intend to find out. Yeah, actually, he coached the Pats to the most wins in my time. 47 years, I think, Shocks. He'll inform me on that. Sports update. Clayton Kershaw struck out 13 while delivering 8 innings of 3-hit ball. Mookie Betts snapped a scoreless tie with a 2-out, 2-run double in the 5th. And the L.A. Dodgers beat the Milwaukee Brewers 3-0 to sweep their NL wildcard series Thursday. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Will Myers each hit 2 home runs. And Manny Machado also connected for San Diego, which rallied to beat St. Louis and force a deciding Game 3 of the NL wildcard series. It will go today. The Oakland A's finally won the big one. Chad Pinder's go-ahead 2-run single in the 5th inning gave the A's a 6-4 win over the Chicago White Sox in the decisive 3rd game of their AL wildcard round series. Oakland stopped a 9-game losing streak in winner-take-all postseason games. Melvin Gordon sealed the Denver Broncos' first win of the season with a 43-yard touchdown run with 1:48 to go, and the defense made just enough plays in the fourth quarter to beat the lowly and still winless New York Football Jets on Thursday Night Football, 37-28. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination and home of the Great Western Slow Pitch League, of which the Rod Peterson Show team is undefeated, Lynch, and in first place. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Just on, it is a Flame Tech Football Friday, but on the Moose Jaw Warriors now saying that they are going to begin the process of formally investigating or discussing their logo, the First Nations headdress logo. Tom is watching in Winnipeg. He says, you got to go back all the way to 1981 when the Winnipeg Warriors debuted. The team was named after the team that played in the Pro Western Hockey League in the 50s and 60s. Moose Jaw honored the 80s logo on the anniversary a few years ago. I thought it was a nice touch. Others went nuts. And the logo is with an Aboriginal person, a cartoon on a canoe, I believe. We all saw it. Yeah. And I don't know who's offended and who's not anymore. I don't care. Do what you're going to do with your logo.
Man, that logo, Moose Jaw Warrior logo, is distinctive across Canada.
Yes.
From the top junior teams in Canada. A very distinctive professional-looking logo. I hope they don't change it. I mean, come on, guys. Like I said to you off the air, with this epidemic here, and everybody at home, time to think and talk. I think a lot of people are overthinking, thinking about stuff that's good. Can we change it? No.
Got too much time on their hands,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, too much time on their hands. But something's good, and you realize it's good, leave it there. You don't need to change something. And that is a great logo. Very distinctive. I can't see them taking that logo off that guy's head. It wouldn't look that good. It's a terrific way.
I think I got to save a lot of these. I got to be honest. I got to save a lot of these texts until hour two when Lynch is gone. They all pertain to hockey, junior hockey. The Q is starting up tonight. The OHL and the WHL still stuck in park. But we did bring Lynch in here to talk football, and you've got thoughts. I just want to say this. Don Mitchell's watching in Saudi Arabia. He says, listening to the Thursday broadcast about the CFL/XFL merger, I think they could have a joint plan of the North American Cup of professional football. CFL champions play the XFL champions with flipping the rules every other year. The marketing our rules versus their rules and vice versa. And leveraging The Rock's media acumen with the CFL long-term legitimacy would be a winner for both leagues. I think it is critical for the unique Canadian rules to remain for us to make this marketing idea work.
Well, The Rock says he's got a trump card to pull with this league.
And we don't know what it is?
It's a trump card for commissioner.
It's not funny, Lynch.
Well, maybe it's not funny, but he says he's looking at a guy like, if he loses the election, Donald Trump to be his commissioner. I think he'll lose the election. He'd be his commissioner and put the team together, and I think he'd be a worker boy. Rock's good, but I think he's a bit of a talker. Yeah, and we know that Trump does work. He gets out there and does it, and they're not going to play for 2 years, so they're looking ahead. They're planning properly. That's great thinking that we can't do it next year. Let's do it in 2 years when things are really good and better. Bunch of crop of real good kids coming out of college the next 2 years, so they say. If those kids can play, because the universities are still concerned about playing games.
Well,
canceling.
With all the layoffs across the Canadian Football League, people are very antsy and on edge. And I'm getting some very testy messages from people. And I understand it. I understand they're in a hurting place. I'm not taking it personally. And in a way, some of them are right with what they're saying. They're saying the XFL and the CFL are apples and oranges. And they are apples and oranges more than that they're aligned, really. Mm-hmm. Other than they will be in competition for American players. But the XFL really has no employees, so it's very easy for them to say, we're not going to play till 2022. The CFL has, well, they had thousands, now they're into hundreds. And maybe by the time they're done, Lynch, by the time we see the CFL ready to get back on the field, there won't be too many left. But the point is the CFL still has a big staff compared to the XFL. So that part, they are X's and O's, or apples and oranges.
CFL's way ahead of the XFL. I don't think they'll make it in 2 years, quite frankly. I think something will happen. He wants to be in wrestling and other silly development programs. If you've seen some of the things that the Rock has, where he's producing, I think football will drive him up the wall. And working with Donald
Trump.
Unless
it's just a hobby for him.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
A fun pastime.
And he sets him and his partner. Who's his partner? Tracy Grace. Oh, that's good. One of his wives.
Danny Garcia. Ex-wife.
Yeah, ex-wife, that's right.
And we all need one of those, right,
that's
Lynch?
Right, and we need to be in partnership with them, too.
No. It would be nice to get along.
I don't think he'll have, because his other ventures are doing very well.
Right.
People love him. So.
Everything he touches turns to gold.
Yeah.
So, hang on.
Football will annoy him.
From viewer Derek Kaming, he says, I would hope that Ambrosi would focus on getting the CFL set up to start in a bubble next season, full season as possible, even with fans in stands in Winnipeg or Saskatchewan. Hold that thought. We'll come right back with Viewer Takeover, okay? Right after this break. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It is Viewer Takeover time, and we will carry the football discussion over into hour two. I'm telling you, everybody wants to talk hockey today, or a lot of people anyways, the majority. Jamie out in Halifax is watching. He says, I hear RP, the Moose Jaw Warriors have to possibly change the Warriors team name. What has this world come to? Blackhawks are next, and the Portland Winterhawks possibly. No, the Chicago Blackhawks, I delved into this week, and they made this statement months ago. We're not changing our name or logo, and here's why. Boom. That's what I'm telling Edmonton they should have done. It's what I'm telling Moose Jaw I'd like to see them do. Chicago's not changing anything.
That's what Edmonton said they would do years ago.
And
no way.
It's different people running the team now. Different people running the team now. That's
any,
the big one.
Any idea yet what the name could be? I know you.
For Edmonton? No, I want it to be the Empire. And the new president up there says that has negative connotation too. To what? Star Wars? Darth Vader? You're afraid of scaring kids?
But then you had another one that broke me up. Edmonton Elk.
I don't like the Elk.
No, it's not.
But you like the Green Golds.
The Green Gold, yep.
Are you staying on that? You think that's what it should be?
Yeah, I'm going with the Green Gold.
Football, somebody had mentioned earlier, Mandy in Edmonton's watching, and she says, an XFL versus CFL championship game not gonna work, and I agree with Mandy. You're not going to play Canadian rules all year, and Donald, the guy that brought it up, is a CFL fan, but you're talking a yard off the ball on the offensive line, three downs versus four downs, 20-yard end zones versus 10. Yeah. No, you're not going to play one set of rules all year and then turn for one game, play American rules?
No.
It makes no sense. The leagues will never merge.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. It's fun to talk about. I'd like to see it happen, but it's not happening. You, Lynch, want to talk about the Riders, and there's a quote from the Leader Post today, former Rough Riders president Tom Shepard, regarding the Rough Riders losing $10 million this year. That's what they forecast. Shepard says, I don't want to be critical, but I'm shocked by that number. I'm not knocking them when they aren't paying people, but I would be interested to see where they lost $10 million, unquote. A lot of business people saying the same thing. Over to you, my friend.
Well, they got that founding fund, the founding fund of the Rough Riders, asking prominent businessmen in town to donate $1 million last year as a ground thing for founding money that we could get about 12 million, 12 guys to do it for $12 million for saving it for rainy days. Little do they know the rainy day would be right away. Anyway, that money goes in, $6 million from the league for your salary cap, that's 20, and $300,000 in revenue from the sale of tickets, and now we had a lot of money. The story out there was, at least we were all led to believe we had a lot of money. I know one guy said, you see that silo over there, Lynch, on the exhibition grounds? It's full of money, full of Rough Rider money, and we laughed and joked and that. But the feeling around town was confident the Rough Riders had lots of money. Now, after what's happened this year, they're out looking for money again. I know they're out looking for money. They're broke. They really are broke. What happened? Just by mathematics. What Tom's talking about, $10 million there. It's more like $100 million. What happened here? I'd love to know. And the club owes it to us. To like Randy Breedy's got to take the bull by the horns.
That's the governor.
The governor. And tell us what happened. They'll dodge it. They've been stick-handing around. They'll dodge it. I mean, I'm glad to see Tom, who I consider the altar, number one executive all-time of the Rough Riders.
He's in the Hall of Fame for that reason.
I'll get on the table right now. He's the number one executive all-time of the Rough Riders. Even though we fight half the time when we're together, he still has got a really...
He's wondering where the money went, and it's on the front page of the sports section of the Leader Post today. I would suggest mismanagement is where it's gone. Gross mismanagement. We'll see where it goes. Carlos in Indianapolis says, aren't the Riders nearing their projected bankruptcy date of middle October? It would seem that way. Derek Kaming says, not making money is not the same as losing money. Very true.
Yeah.
We'll continue this next hour. Ken Reed of Sportsnet and best-selling author will be with us and more on all these topics. Thanks for joining us for Flame Tech Football Friday. We're keeping it going on Facebook Live next hour. The rest of you, we'll see you Monday at 10 a.m. on Game Plus. Jordan has the bladder of a camel.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.